Praise the Lord. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. I bless his name one more time for just allowing us to come into his house to hear and to receive what the Lord has in store for each and every one of us. Thank the Lord for being the God of heaven, the creator of all things. Thank God for his son, Jesus Christ, on today. He is my Savior. He is the one who came to seek and to save that which is lost. I thank him for also giving us the Spirit of God, which dwells in the inner man, which keeps us day by day. Amen. We were talking on the subject of sin. We're going to look today. We'll start in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And then we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 2 and then move to chapter 3. With sin, we've been looking at how it has affected certain people's lives. Romans 6 and 23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Genesis chapter 2. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. That is the payment for the wages or the penalty or the punishment you receive for sin, which is death. And it tells us also in the same verse, even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. We do need to focus on the first part of that, but we also need to realize the second part of that verse. The first part tells us, if you sin, you're going to die. And death is not death, because everyone's going to die. But the verse is speaking of the eternal death because of sin. And the gift of God is talking about eternal life. So we have a choice that we can make concerning what we do and which one of these we want. We can continue in sin, and we know what those wages are, which is death. But today we're going to look at a little bit more of what sin is, and this actually means, what is the wages of sin? Yes, we are going to die, and yes, we are going to, if we die in sin, we are going to face eternal death. But what does sin actually cause in our life? In Genesis chapter 2, what God created for mankind, only two people were able to be in it, but he made it for man to continually live in. So when God defined where the garden was, and it was a large place, when God set the boundaries to the Garden of Eden, he placed everything in the garden for man to have. And that's God's providential care, because God takes care of his people. He takes care of his creation. So we find a perfect place, the Garden of Eden. We also know that he put in the garden a perfect person. When God made Adam, the Bible tells us he was in God's likeness and in God's image. And he made man, and he blew the breath of life into Adam. And Adam became a living soul. And perfect means he was without sin when God created him. Every man has free will. So if man has free will, man can choose. Just like you have the same choice that Adam had in the garden. Free will. So he made him perfect, but he gave him free will to choose. We have free will, but we choose to be in here to serve God. When God created the garden, he created a place, a perfect place, for a perfect people. Because the intent of God was for mankind to live in this way, without sin, in a place that he can commune with us. And through God's providential care. They had everything they needed. God gave Adam assignments. He was given responsibility to name every animal creature. So Adam's mind was like fully open. How much capacity of our minds did we lose by falling into sin? And I think of this scripture, when we see him, we'll be like him, and we will know all things. Knowing all things is what I can imagine Adam knew, because God made him like what he's going to make us. He had a place here on earth for mankind, but now mankind has a place in where? Heaven. So Adam had a job. He was told to dress it and to keep it. To dress it, when I read the definition, it said to work and serve as serving the living God, or serving God. To work and to serve God. Keep it is defined as to guard or to observe, to keep watch over, as in to be one on guard while in the garden, while serving God. One is serve God, the other one is observe. Same word, just an OB in front of it. Why do you think God gave him the job, which was to dress it and to keep it, specifically those two things? Adam's work was not to tend to the, per se, the garden. Adam's work was to serve God and to watch over what God created for mankind. If you think about free will, it's almost like it's a warning, because he's telling you, one, you need to work and to serve God. And when you work and serve God, you do what servants do. Servants do what they were instructed verbally to do. And then the other part of that is to observe and to keep watch over this area, the garden. And it's not just to observe it, but to guard it. If he's supposed to watch over it and guard it, what is it that he's supposed to be guarding it from? So the presence of evil is here. So you have him being on watch, and it doesn't get into what he's watchful over, but obviously God knows the influences that are in the earth. When the Bible talks about hearing the word of God, it's talking about being obedient to what you heard. Adam had no sense of what evil was. He had no knowledge. He's supposed to be observant for something. Did God have a conversation with Adam as to what good and evil was? We don't know. You can assume that, but scripturally, we cannot confirm that he knew what it was. The word of God, even though we were not there, we have some indications as to what went on. We cannot say with any assurity that he knew what to look out for. He did know the consequences of being disobedient to what God said. The one thing we can be sure of, he knew that eating of that would cause death. And this is something else we don't know. We don't know 100% for sure that he knew what death actually meant. We can assume it, but we can't be sure of it. But we know that God told him, don't eat. Now, we know he said to eat freely of every other tree and not of this one. I wanted to look at the conversation that took place before they actually ate. Because when you think of the conversation that Eve had with the serpent, the serpent was saying things that had some truth to it, but also had some lies to it. And in those conversations, what Adam's responsibility was to observe, guard, and serve God, which is to be obedient to his word. And when Adam heard the conversation, why didn't he guard, or why didn't he correct? Why didn't he say, no, this is what God told me? I think sometimes we get in a lot of trouble just by watching and observing, being curious as to see what's going to happen. When we kind of know the outcome, but nothing had really transpired, she hadn't eaten, it's just a conversation. But the conversation did not have the truth in it. Adam knew the truth. He knew what was true because he knew God's instructions. Eve knew. She repeated it, then repeated it exactly like God gave it to Adam. But she knew that was something she was supposed to eat of. But Adam allowed the conversation to go on. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 12.
Genesis 3 and 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life.
Thorn also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them.
What do I want you to notice here? When God gave Adam the commandment not to eat of the tree, he told him that if he did, that he would surely die. Now, in these scriptures we read, there are many things that were talked about and what God spoke to each one involved. And he told them, as a result of what Adam did, all these things that we just read, he was the cause. At the cause of what Adam did is that he would die. But the consequences was widespread. This is what I really want us to see today. Because of what they did, not only did they face death, what else did they face?
Each one a specific consequence for their actions.
They all did. You said sorrow. We heard that the ground would be what? Cursed. What else happened? Childbearing. Be hard for a woman. Were they able to stay in the garden? God made the perfect place for the perfect person. Gave him one perfect commandment. And because of that one perfect commandment, not only he has now a death penalty on his life, but he can no longer be in the perfect place.
He ain't perfect no more.
He had an eviction notice. Sin, when you sin, it's not just a single thing that happens to you. Death. There is consequences for what you do. And they're broad and they're sweeping. He could not remain where God placed him, in the perfect place where God's providence was evident throughout the garden. Freely eat whatever you want to do. Now man, he can not only stay there, the right climate, the right environment, nothing, no sweating, no nothing, everything is perfect. Now he's going to sweat. Now he has to work for what he eats. He's evicted from it. Can't return. Because if he returns and eats again, he'll be in that condition forever. So he's banned. The commandments, when God gives us what to do if we are disobedient, it has severe consequences, even though the penalty just might say the wages of sin is death. And we know, even when he says, but the gift of God is eternal life, we know eternal life is not just we're just going to live long. There are benefits from that. There are consequences, good consequences, for a person living the right life. You have a mansion that he's prepared for you. You have a city, crystal clear river, and we have no clue as to really what is in heaven, but I can tell you it's going to be the best place we have ever seen. And I have been a lot of places in this country. I have seen a lot of things, and in the places I haven't been, I've seen on TV, and I've seen some very, very beautiful places. I have to say, where we're going to heaven, it's nothing that I've seen here on earth like it. If the ground here is cursed and we see these things, what do you think you might see in heaven? So Adam, he could no longer live forever. He could no longer be in the garden. He now had sin, had been introduced into the world. Now he didn't have to ever deal with sin in the garden. Now he has to deal with sin. Now when he has children, his children kill each other. His one mistake was he disobeyed God. And God said he would surely die, which he eventually did. But that one thing, that one mistake cost him. Because the consequences of disobeying God is great. He had to leave where he was. Now he has hard times. He has labor. He has a life expectancy. Everything that was prepared was taken away. Now you got to fend for yourself. Now, I want to discuss another person, David. When David committed the sin, we discovered he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was on his roof. He lusted after a woman. He called for that woman. They told him that woman was married. It didn't matter to him that she was married. Called her anyway. Slept with the woman. Sent her back home. The woman said, I'm pregnant. Then sent for her husband. Tried to cover it up over and over again. That didn't work. Sent him back into the war with a letter to put him in the hot battle and leave him that he would be killed. Sin. Beyond that event, we have consequences. David did this, and for some time, he never confessed this sin. And God sent Nathan to him to tell him a story about what this rich man did. And after he told the story, David said, that man should be dead. That man should be killed. And then he told him, that man is you. But God didn't kill him. But God did say there's going to be consequences for this. The consequence was the baby she was carrying was going to die. 2 Samuel 12:13-15.
And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die.
And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and was very sick. And that child went on to die. David had fasted and prayed, and his servants was even afraid to go and disturb him. David repented of this sin, Psalms 51. That's where this came from. But his repentance didn't stop the consequences from coming. There's a scripture for that. What you sow, you shall also reap. And it does not matter. We don't ever hear anything else like this in scripture about David. But his family history, his son raped his daughter. He had trouble within his own family. One other son tried to take his throne and kill him. living with these kind of consequences can be difficult. You think about a parent expecting a child to nurture and to watch that child grow from a baby to a young man or young woman, and to see that child go through. We don't like that, to see our child go through anything, any kind of sickness. And to die, that was a weight that David had to carry his entire life. But that weight kept him. The consequences of what he faced as a result of what he did, it'll either destroy you or it'll keep you. It kept him. The one thing about being disobedient to God is we cannot go back and undo it. We do have an advocate with the Father that we can go to him and ask God for forgiveness for what we have done. And he's faithful to forgive us of what we have done. Somewhere down the line, there will be consequences. Sin is a very, very serious thing in God's sight. A person can say, oh, well, I'm not ready to be saved yet. I know what I'm supposed to do. Or you might even say, I'm saved and I'm going to go back into the world. And you say, well, I got time. Or you think you have time. And you know, I know how to get my life right. I know what's required of me. And, you know, before my time, I'm going to straighten up and I'm going to fly right. And you know what? You might have that opportunity, but you're still going to suffer the consequences of what it is. People don't realize when they leave and go back into the world how hard it is to come back. Struggle trying to just make it to one service. And then they get here, all kinds of guilt and shame come upon you because you're convicted in your mind. Go back out. When we are tempted, God gives us a way of escape. I can only imagine that Adam had a way of escape. David had a way of escape. We have a way of escape if we just take notice of that. When we look at it face to face, value of what it is, Adam gave up a great deal just by the one thing that God told him not to do. And so did David, and so does everyone else who sinned against God. I'm not per se talking about the sinners in the world. You come into the world as a sinner, so it's your nature to sin. I'm talking about the ones that, like Adam was perfect, David was anointed. I'm talking about us, I'm people in the church who know better, but oftentimes we don't. David gave us a beautiful way to come before God with Psalms 51 and how to repent and how sorrowful he was. He knew what God wanted. He knew what he didn't want. And through his experience, we have a way to work through our experience. Most gracious Father, we come to you and we thank you today for your lesson. We thank you for this teaching today, Lord. I thank you for it. I thank you that we are here and able to hear. I pray, O God, that we be hearers of your word and doers of your word, not just hearers only. But Lord, help us, O God, if we have fallen, if we have sinned, Lord, help us to overcome that sin and help us to deal with the consequences that sin has left behind. And Lord, we'll be forever grateful in Jesus' name. Amen.